You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Hola a todos, ¿cómo están? Los saluda David. El día de hoy estamos muy emocionados de presentarles una breve entrevista que le hicimos a Salim Ismael. Salim estuvo unos días en la Ciudad de México y tenía una agenda súper apretada, pero nos dio chance de darle un aventón a una de sus juntas y grabar en el camino. Desafortunadamente, Salim no habla español, entonces la entrevista la tuvimos que hacer en inglés, pero aún así le recomiendo mucho que la escuchen. Salim la ha aprendido muy impresionantemente como inversionista y como emprendedor a lo largo de su carrera. Cuando él era vicepresidente de Yahoo, creó Brick House, que es la incubadora interna de Yahoo. Ha fundado y cofundado varias empresas. La última, Angstro, se la vendió a Google. Salim también ha sido el director ejecutivo fundador en Singularity University y ahora es embajador global de Singularity también. Si no conoces bien qué hace Singularity o cómo funciona, te recomiendo mucho que te metas a Google y lo cheques. Está muy padre el proyecto. Ellos se basan físicamente en la NASA y tienen como objetivo reducir esta distancia creciente que estamos viendo entre educación y tecnologías exponenciales. Es sin duda uno de los proyectos más interesantes para juntar grandes mentes y utilizar tecnología para resolver los problemas más importantes de nuestro planeta. Yo leí el libro de Salim hace poco, se llama Organizaciones Exponenciales, y me impresionó mucho cómo, a pesar de haberse publicado en el 2014, lo empezó a escribir en el 2011, Salim logra predecir el éxito y el fracaso de varias empresas. Y esto creo que tiene que ver mucho con la forma en la que piensa Salim. Él, cuando ve una organización o cuando ve una empresa, su mente busca criterios para determinar si esta empresa o organización pueden ser exponenciales. Estos criterios, o sea, son muchos, pero incluyen la flexibilidad que tiene una organización para adaptarse, el poder del problema que está tratando de resolver la empresa, la visión de los empresarios y la capacidad de atraer personas que verdaderamente les apasiona el proyecto. Sin duda, esta lista queda muy corta, pero si estás armando un startup o trabajas en una organización que tiene una visión lineal en vez de exponencial, te invito a que le eches un ojo al libro de Organizaciones Exponenciales y que escuches nuestra entrevista con Salim Ismael.
Bienvenidos a Tripeando, el podcast en donde se profundiza sobre los temas más trendy del momento.
Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness.
Why do we crystallize imagination?
And I have my mind. The mind needs books like a sword needs a whetstone.
Full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Únete a la conversación y expande tu conocimiento.
So we're here with Salim Ismael. Such an honor to be with you. Really thankful. We're actually riding a car right now in Mexico City. And I'm really happy to be speaking with you, Salim. And I guess my first question would be, how do you like Mexico?
Well, I'm from India originally, so there's such similarity in the culture. I absolutely love Mexico. The food is amazing. I can eat tamarindo ice cream by the bucketful. And I love the culture, the nature, the depth of art and sensibility is really great here. So I love it.
Well, that's pretty awesome to hear. I wanted to start by asking you, one of the coolest projects I think anyone has ever heard of is Singularity University. I would like to ask you if you could talk a little about it and why did you
became such an important part of Singularity University?
So like most of these things, it was kind of an accident. I was actually set up a relationship between Yahoo and NASA when I was running innovation for NASA, for Yahoo. And the NASA people invited me to the founding conference of Singularity. And I'd never heard of Ray Kurzweil or Peter Diamandis or the XPRIZE or even the Singularity. And I asked a lot of questions. And about 2 weeks later, Peter said, would you like to run it? And so it was kind of like a startup environment plus nonprofit plus radical changing of the world. And it was super exciting to get involved and ran it in the kind of founding CEO role for the first 3 years. And then I ran most of the courses for another 5 or 6 years after that as their global ambassador. And so probably my secret superpower is that if there's a discussion on, say, blockchain, a lab, a workshop, a lecture, I've heard it 60 times. Same thing with autonomous cars or AI or drones or biotech or robotics. And so as my wife says, I can pretend to speak about just about anything now as a result. So it's been a profound, and I'm very, very proud of what we were able to achieve there.
Well, that's pretty awesome. And in your book, Exponential Organizations, you speak about MTPs, which are massive transformative purposes. And I think it's such a powerful and simple idea. And I would like to ask you if you could talk a little about it and the importance of MTPs in organizations, and what is Singularity's MTP?
Okay. So yeah, great question. So Singularity's MTP is go impact a billion people positively. And what's interesting is the focus on accelerating technologies that are all doubling allows you to scale to that level. So solar, just as an example, solar energy is doubling every 22 months or roughly every 2 years in its capability. And at that pace, we can deliver 100% of world energy supply with solar in literally 12 years. And so we're entering a world of abundance, and these new technologies can scale dramatically. So as we build new organizations, we want them to be purpose-driven and really mission-driven, because that's what gives you meaning in your life. People, profits and money take you to one level, but then you really kind of want to go for why am I alive? And so the concept of the massive purpose and the massive transformative purpose is what is the problem that you want to written on your tombstone that you were able to solve, right? So Waze is solving traffic and Google is organizing the world's information. And as you're building an organization that's scaling quickly, it acts as a North Star. It's the why of how you exist, and then you have different methodologies to answer the how. Simon Sinek talks about this quite a lot in his thinking around purpose-driven organizations. Now, Larry Fink, the CEO of Blackstone, has said the we will only invest in purpose-driven organizations. And so $1 trillion of investment are going into that. Maybe the thing that I'm most proud of is that a few years ago, Paul Polman, the CEO of Unilever, read the book, read about MTP, and he ordered every brand in Unilever to take on an MTP and make the company sustainable, ethical, etc. And 2 billion people a day globally use Unilever products. So there's kind of some weird effect that we've had there in it without even realizing it.
Well, yeah, that's pretty cool. And do you think actually like new startups and new entrepreneurs have a clear MTP when they're forming their new business?
Actually, they often don't. What often happens is somebody comes across a great capability, great technology like, you know, focused ultrasound or biotech breakthrough, and they don't know where to apply it. So they cast around looking for where they can apply and make a difference with that technology. Whereas we prefer to say, pick the problem that you're most passionate about solving and then find the technologies and breakthroughs that will be able to bring to bear on that problem. Whereas if you start with the technology, you may end up in a dead end. You may not find where it ends up as a happy place to be. So if you look at, say, BlackBerry, the failure of BlackBerry was really they'd never had an MTP. They became super successful and they didn't know what to do with the company, and it just kind of drifted along and then got overtaken. And so the MTP keeps you focused and keeps you kind of on that path on a nonstop basis.
Well, and I would like to ask you, you're a theoretical physicist, right?
And yes, by education.
By education. Yeah, exactly. That's basically where my question is going. How has that formation helped you in how you think and how you take decisions?
Oh, well, to be blunt and to be honest, the reason I did theoretical physics was I was in engineering and I hated the amount of work that I had to do. And I'm pretty lazy. And I really only needed a technical degree to get through university because I knew I was going to be doing computing and software stuff. And so engineering was too much work. And I got stuck in civil engineering where nothing moves. It's all bridges and dams. There was a whole course in second year called concrete, and I just about wanted to shoot myself. And so I found that the workload in theoretical physics was literally one third of what engineering was. So I went into that. Even then, I barely got my degree. But there was a profound moment in theoretical physics where you learn about quantum mechanics. And then you have to basically unlearn everything you had to learn before to apply yourself to thinking about quantum mechanics. And that was a really profound observation for me. And it made it really magical for me. And so I've been really kind of focused in a really magical way of about science and so on. It opened up a whole new world of inquiry for me that never existed.
Well, that's really cool to hear. I hope our civil engineers don't get a little disappointed. And what's looking more to the future, changing brakes a little? What's the technological breakthrough that excites you the most right now?
I think there are three. I think one is solar energy, as I mentioned, because of what it's going to do. It's going to totally change global geopolitics, right? The poorest countries in the world are the sunniest countries in the world. So just that will totally change the world. And so I'm really excited about that. And it's unstoppable and it will happen because now there's so much democratization of the technology that market forces can't stop it. The second is biotech breakthroughs like CRISPR, where we literally think we're going to solve cancer in the next 5 to 7 years, for example, Alzheimer's in the next 7 to 9 years. And so we've got some really incredible healthcare breakthroughs coming through. And the third technology I'm incredibly excited about is Bitcoin and blockchain, because you can decentralize authentication. And we've been struggling for 100 years on how to do that. Nobody cracked it until the blockchain. And I'm really, really excited about what that is. So if you think about almost all government services, they're saying, yes, you're the right age. Yes, you have the building permit. Yes, you can have the fishing license. And when you can decentralize that authentication, you actually can reduce the cost of government services really dramatically and take out corruption at the same time.
Are there any specific startups you're excited about, maybe related to this kind of problems?
Yeah, there's dozens of them that are operating. You know, Hernando de Soto is doing some interesting work in land titles on the blockchain. The big challenge, of course, is getting governments to accept the blockchain as authoritative and not the government, because that means they lose control, and no government likes to lose control. So that's going to be the big challenge. But I think the value of doing it is so high that it has to happen. It will not happen.
In your book, you mentioned this really interesting, I would say, kind of dilemma between that an entrepreneur or an employer must face between benefiting the community around his brand or benefiting the company. How do you think that entrepreneurs or employers should deal with this dilemma?
So do you benefit the brand? I think we're going to start to see happen is that you can't benefit the brand unless you benefit the community. And people have started to figure that out. And it's real today that you're not in control of your brand, right? You really have to, I don't know which way you go. You really have to help the community, and that will help your brand. If you're very selfish about it and say, no, we're not going to do it, then you end up in a hell of a mess around the brand.
Well, that's a great point. And finally, I would like to ask you, which it's also a really interesting part of your book, how can you apply exponential organization ideals to non-business related organizations like governments and nonprofit organizations?
Mm. So we're actually starting to see that. I talk about it in the book, how the UK created a government digital service, GDS, which actually uses a lot of the EXO principles, design thinking, experimentation, etc. And when they applied that approach and designed the new passport application process, they got 94% approval for doing that. And when's the last time a government service got that kind of approval level? Because they actually talked to the people. And so they had a feedback loop and they applied the approach. we're starting now to see political campaigns being run via EXO thinking. I don't like to say it too loudly, but actually the Trump campaign was an EXO campaign. They used heavily algorithms, data-driven experimentation, lean, constantly iterating and testing, etc. And the Clinton campaign did not do that. And so we're seeing huge results from that. And more governments and political campaigns are starting to use that thinking in their approach.
And just so when it comes to public policy measuring the effects of how a specific policy is actually turning around, do you think the Trump administration is focusing on that sense in EXO?
No, they haven't applied that in any other way except at the campaign, which you can see very clearly in the, you know, incompetence and the malice in how they're running the country. You know, just as an example, they're trying to make more guns flow down to Central America, which then has more migrants come up, and then they worry about the border. You know, so this kind of this policy thinking is so incredibly stupid that it doesn't really apply. And so if they ran the government the same, it would be great. And we're actually advising a bunch of governments to say, okay, you got elected on this basis. How do you now transform and run the country on this basis? So we're talking to a number of countries around that, Colombia being a prime example.
Well, that's pretty cool. Thank you very much for this space. And we're really glad you're part of Tripeando. And thank you very much, Salim.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks for the questions.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.